Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the people that you have given us. Thank you for the love and the unity that we have. That's a strange thing to say in this group, but it's a truth. It's a truth that has developed over the time, and one that I'm very grateful for. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done with us. You are preparing us. You are preparing us for the next phase. And I look forward to seeing what you're going to do. Open our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thought we would take a little break from John today in honor of Mother's Day. You know, some people aren't saying Mother's Day anymore. They're saying Happy Birthing Parents Day. Just doesn't sound the same, does it? Yeah, it's out there. We often speak of fatherhood being under attack, but motherhood has been under attack no less so, and perhaps for longer. It is, it's become something that's looked down on now for women who want to stay at home and raise their children. Children are now considered an inconvenience, it's something that's in the way of your career. Better if you kill them off. That way they're not in your way anymore. And not be a mom at all. And now, as if that wasn't bad enough, now you've got the women and men, you don't even know which is which. That's why you've got the silly phrase that I just said, because we've got this idea now that you can be something that you're not and that you never can be. Because that's not the way God made you. Your very DNA will not allow you to be anything other than what God created you. And, for those people who are confused about that, we have nothing but compassion, but we can't allow that to rule our society. In today's culture, it doesn't seem to want to recognize the fact that men and women are different. And that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. One's not inferior to the other. They're just made for different purposes and different roles by God. And they're beautiful and wonderful in their own ways. Another reason why same-sex families don't work out so well. There's some books that have been written about that. I wish I had thought to get an example. Something I read recently, actually, of someone who was raised by two parents and talking about his experiences. He came through all right. Obviously, God's good. Come through anything with God's help. But that's not the way God intended it to be. But this really goes back all the way to Adam's fall. Adam messed it up for both sexes. If we go back and read, and that's not one of the things that's on the screen, but if we go back and read Genesis 3:16, it says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And if you unpack that, the desire word there is a word that can be used as in a beast who desires to devour. So what you have here is a power struggle. Isn't that what we see? A power struggle based on selfishness. And that is what was led into the world with the fall. Now, I'm not going to be able to answer every question today. That's not really the purpose of the lesson. But our topic today, or our person today that we're going to look at, does kind of bring some of those questions to the fore. Because we have a woman here who is a judge in Israel and has a position, one might say, of authority in Israel. And of course, I'm talking about Deborah. Deborah is a prophetess. In other words, she hears what the Lord says and she tells what the Lord says. She hears from God and she speaks what God says. She's a judge in Israel. People would come from all over the country to hear from her and to have their, you know, judge. One of the things the judge would do is resolve disputes. So she is serving in that role. There were 12 judges mentioned in this period of Israel's history before they demanded a king and really messed it up. And she is the only one of those 12 who's mentioned who was a woman. But note that she was in that position. And she was used by God. The interesting thing too about Deborah is, you know, with all of the emphasis on family ties, and you know, we have all of these lineages and you know, everything, of course, leading us to Jesus. But a lot of these judges, we don't really know a whole lot about. And Deborah is no exception. We do have the name of her husband, but his family is not mentioned either. We can guess at it. We can speculate based on where they live, but we're not really told. And this was not uncommon with some of the judges we know, some of them we don't. Now, there's another character in this story. His name is Barak. And his name means lightning. He is we are at least told who his father is. His father is Abinoam, but he might have been from the tribe of Naphtali, since that's where he was called from. But maybe also he might have also been of Issachar. And that's because of some of the wording in Judges chapter 5. But we also will see his name in what we call the Hall of Faith over in Hebrews chapter 11. His name comes up, which is interesting given the way this story flows. So let's go ahead and get into it. We're going to be in Judges chapter 4. And in this story, the Israelites have once again strayed away, as they are prone to do, as aren't we all. They've strayed away from God. They've started, and every time they do that, every time they stray away from God, their enemies come in and get the best of them. So now they're under some a new oppressor because of the way that they live. But God is once again hearing their cry, and he's going to deliver them. He's going to do it through this man named Barak, who is going to be called by Deborah. And we'll start, we'll pick up in verse 4 of chapter 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." Now here we have the command. God is setting this up. And he's given this message through Deborah, and Deborah calls Barak and delivers this message to him. But the call comes from God. Deborah delivers the message. And the message, the thing that we get from that is, be ready to hear God speaking from places you don't expect. People in that time may not have expected to hear a message from God through a woman, but that's who God used. Now, and she apparently had a great deal of respect, because then Barak's response is, well, I'll go, but only if you go too. And that's what you find in verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you do not go with me, I will not go. He's reluctant to do what God has called him to do. And really, he's got his trust in the wrong place. He's got his trust in God's messenger instead of in God himself. So you come with me and I'll do it. Because what he's doing is he's relying on Deborah to hear from God. And to carry forward the victory. And yet, even so, even though he's not quite there yet, we might say, he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews as one of these great men of faith. Well, how is that? For one simple reason, because ultimately, well, he might have been a little slow to start. Ultimately, he believed what God said, and he went and did it. So Deborah agrees to come, but she says, it's going to cost you something. And in verse 9, she said, I surely will go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, and the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, when you first read this, you might think that Deborah is speaking of herself here. But she's actually not, as we find as we read the rest of this story. The victory actually goes, or at least the final victory, the destruction of the leader, the commander there, goes to this woman who's actually living as an outcast. She and her family are living at the edges of the territory, kind of more friendly with the enemy than they are with Israel, it would seem. And the victory goes to this woman for what this other woman named Jael for what she does. She's the one who actually takes out the commander. The battle is won. Reading from 14, verse 14 and 15. Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. God is the one who brought the victory, and he may have done it that the river there was prone to flooding. And if you look over in chapter 5, which is all this song that they wrote about the victory, Deborah and Barak wrote about the victory. And in 21, it seems to indicate that maybe what happened was that God caused the river to flood and all the chariots got stuck in the mud. He's certainly able to do that. But the story's not over yet, because the main guy got away. And so he goes to this woman's tent who lives on the outskirts of the nation there, and takes refuge. It turned out not to be such a good idea. We'll start in verse 18. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my master, turn aside to me, and do not be afraid." And he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug, and he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink. Then she covered him, and he said to her, "Stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be that if anyone comes and inquires of you, then say, and say, if anyone's here, that you shall say, 'No.'" But Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and seized a hammer in her hand and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went through into the ground. And he was sound asleep and exhausted, and he died. Wow. Don't tell the Bible's full of stories. Don't ever let it tell you it's boring. Now, the other thing I would have to say about this is everything that's recorded in the Bible is not recorded as being approved. It's not saying this is a good idea. It's saying this is what happened. But this is the woman to whom Barak lost the glory. She's the one that took out the commander. But she became God's instrument for justice. And there are some things that we can take from this. One of them being that where you've come from, your heritage, doesn't matter to God. We make a lot of it and take pride in it, and that's okay. But God uses whom He wills. If you're willing, He'll use you. And the heritage that you see in the Bible, the family line and so forth, that's all there for a purpose. God is using that to a greater end. But it was never about bloodlines, was about the bloodline. The judges were not ever chosen by heritage. They were chosen by God, whoever was willing to listen to him and do what he said. They were appointed by God. And Deborah, because she heard from God and spoke what she heard, became one of them. Your family history doesn't define you. Whatever you've been through doesn't define you. Whatever you've done in your past doesn't define you. God defines you. Your disability doesn't define you. Your God defines you. And He thinks you are priceless. Well, now I'm going to rephrase that. You were worth the ultimate price. He gave His life for you. What might this tell us about the role of women? I don't want to get too deep into that. There are some instructions that we are all familiar with the instructions that Paul gave. Some say that has to do with some problem churches and dealing with things that were totally out of order in those churches. We do have prophetesses that appear in the book of Acts. We have other places, and I didn't make a list here. I apologize. I could have done more preparation for this. Just been a crazy week. But there are several instances where you see women's names listed as being helpful in the ministry, and in some cases, it would almost almost looks like maybe they're in leadership roles, but we're, you know, there's dispute on that. I don't really want to get too deep into that. But why else would we be told of them if it wasn't to let us know that that's possible? There must be order. Things must be done the way that God says that they should be done. I don't know that I'm all that comfortable with women pastors. It doesn't seem that the Bible lines up with that, but I'm willing to be talked into it. But the message, the real message, the greater message, I'm going to say, is that if God is speaking to you, speak up. Believe God. Now, believe God and hear God for yourself. Trust by proxy is going to cost you something. Now, in this case, you know, we can't say anything bad about Deborah. She did fine. But a lot of times when we put our trust in individuals, guess what? They're human beings, and eventually they mess up. And if you had your trust there instead of in God, well, then you're thrown for a loop. But our faith doesn't belong in people, because people are all going to fail us. But our God will not fail us. Seek God for yourself and trust in Him alone. It's He who wins the battles. And we don't ever want to forget that, because it's easy, and in this case we don't have it. If we went on many years ago, we did. We studied what happened with Gideon. Gideon got, after he won the victory, he got all kind of into himself, and it ended up being a snare and a downfall. He got into idolatry, and his leadership didn't end well. So don't ever forget, when you start winning those battles, it's because God won the battle and we got to be part of it. Don't ever take the glory for yourself. So in conclusion, I told you we'd be short today. I've tried to be long-winded anyway, but I think we're still going to run short. Never despise God's messenger. Be willing to hear when God is speaking. Even if the source out, does that mean, you know, we're told to test the spirits. And absolutely, there are a lot of false teachers out there. And there are a lot of people speaking that shouldn't be speaking. And there are a lot of people speaking lies. But I guess the way to say that maybe is, don't make a snap judgment. Be willing to hear the messenger and then evaluate the message, instead of rejecting the messenger up front because they don't look or sound like you think that they should. And don't put your trust in the messenger. It doesn't matter who you are. Whether you're a man or woman, black or white, or something else. Doesn't matter your economic status. Doesn't matter your disability. God can and will use you if you will open your heart to Him and just do what He says. Do what He tells you to do. Do what you have been called to do. And have your reward in full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us your word. That there are so many lessons throughout your word to teach us how to live, to teach us how to be everything that you have called us to be. Lord, I pray as we go forward this week. Some of us may have yet to to honor our moms. I hope we're all able to do that. And if mom's not around anymore, do something she would like for you to do. I just thank you for, I'm sorry, I'm quit praying, going back to preaching. I can't stand to be short, can I? But praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've done. Thank you for your word. Help us as we go forth to serve you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.